Welcome everyone to Brainwaves, where we delve into the intricate world of brain health. Today, we're tackling a topic that honestly doesn't get nearly enough airtime, aluminium, specifically nanoaluminium, and its surprising and quite frankly concerning potential link to Alzheimer's disease.
You know, Adan, when I hear neurotoxicity, my mind usually jumps to things like lead or mercury. Aluminium just doesn't sound as sinister, I guess. But you're telling me it's far more pervasive than we realize, and maybe more impactful than we give it credit for?
Exactly. It's incredibly common. We're exposed to it daily, through our food, food additives, the packaging our food comes in, drinking water, medications, even industrial sources. It's practically everywhere. And while ordinary aluminium is a concern, the nano part of nanoaluminium introduces an entirely new layer of worry that science is really starting to unpack.
So what's the big deal with nano? I mean, aluminium is aluminium, right? How does its size change anything?
That's a crucial question, Angelina. The nano part matters immensely because particles at that scale, we're talking incredibly tiny, behave completely differently from their larger bulk counterparts. They have a much larger surface area relative to their size, which makes them way more chemically reactive. Think of it like this. A single large rock isn't as reactive as the same amount of rock ground into fine powder. That powder has so much more surface exposed, right?
Okay, that makes sense. More reactive means more potential for biological disruption, I guess?
Precisely. And recent reviews are quite stark about this. A 2025 review on aluminium nanoparticles pointed to the brain as one of the primary target organs in animal studies. And a 2026 review specifically on aluminium oxide nanoparticles noted that their small size allows them to cross biological barriers that larger particles can't, accumulating in the central nervous system. That's a huge red flag.
So, we're saying it can get into our brains? That's unsettling, but what about the direct link to Alzheimer's? I know that's a heavily debated topic.
You're absolutely right to bring that up. And it's important to be clear, we cannot, at this stage, definitively say that nanoaluminium is the sole proven cause of Alzheimer's disease in humans. The human evidence is still debated and mixed. But here's the kicker. The scientific case that aluminium is a neurotoxic metal, full stop, is very strong. And the case that it may contribute to Alzheimer's-type pathology is much, much more serious than many people realize. Recent reviews continue to describe aluminium-induced neurotoxicity as biologically plausible in Alzheimer's disease, even if direct causality in humans remains unsettled.
Biologically plausible? I like that phrase. It acknowledges the complexity but also points to a clear direction. So, we're routinely exposed to aluminium, and now we know these tiny nanoforms can potentially cross into our brains. What are the mechanisms we should be concerned about? How does it actually do damage once it's there?
Great question, Angelina. This is where the science gets really interesting and, frankly, a bit chilling. One of the biggest worries, as you touched upon, is brain entry. These tiny particles bypass defenses. That 2026 review explicitly states their size allows them to cross biological barriers and accumulate in the CNS. They can even use the olfactory route, basically going from your nose straight to your brain. Once they're in, they can directly injure neurons or act indirectly by activating glial cells and inflammatory signaling.
The nose-to-brain route? Wow, that's a direct pathway I hadn't even considered. And Alzheimer's often starts years before symptoms. So anything getting into the brain that increases exposure to a reactive metal is a long-term risk factor for neurodegeneration, right?
Exactly. Now, moving beyond entry, let's talk about what happens inside. A recurring theme in aluminium toxicology is oxidative stress and mitochondrial dysfunction. The 2025 review states that much of their toxicity appears to involve oxidative stress, mitochondrial dysfunction, inflammation, genotoxicity, and cell death pathways. In the brain, this is particularly damaging. Neurons are energy hungry, they live a long time, and they're not great at replacing themselves. Alzheimer's is already strongly linked to oxidative damage and mitochondrial failure. So aluminium could be acting as an accelerant on processes the Alzheimer's brain is already vulnerable to.
So it's like throwing fuel on a fire that's already smoldering. And I've heard a lot about inflammation and Alzheimer's lately. Is aluminium playing a role there too?
Absolutely. Neuroinflammation is another major mechanism. A 2023 experimental paper found that aluminium activated microglia, those are the brain's immune cells, and drove inflammation through a specific pathway, increasing inflammatory cytokines and worsening neuronal injury. This is critical because chronic microglial activation isn't just a side effect of Alzheimer's anymore. It's seen as a major part of its progression. If aluminium is switching on those inflammatory circuits, it could be pushing the brain towards an Alzheimer's-like state even before obvious cognitive decline.
That's a pretty strong chain of events. And then there's the famous amyloid beta and tau, which everyone associates with Alzheimer's. Does aluminium influence those too?
Indeed. Aluminium is repeatedly implicated here. A 2023 review on aluminium neurotoxicity and autophagy notes that aluminium exposure is believed to influence amyloid beta production and tau hyperphosphorylation, which are two of the central pathologies in Alzheimer's disease. There's even a 2021 study that found aluminium, especially in the presence of a specific genetic subgroup, increased tau phosphorylation and A-beta deposition. Another human tissue study reported aluminium co-localized with phosphorylated tau in familial Alzheimer's disease brain tissue. It's not proof of causation, but it shows a very close relationship between aluminium and the exact lesions we see in Alzheimer's.
So it's not just causing damage, it's interacting with the hallmarks of the disease. That's serious. What about the brain's ability to clean itself up? Is that affected?
Excellent point. Healthy neurons rely on something called autophagy to clear away damaged proteins and organelles. When this cleanup system breaks down, proteins like amyloid beta and tau can accumulate. The same 2023 autophagy review I mentioned earlier argues that dysfunction of this system may be one way aluminium worsens neurotoxicity and allows toxic proteins to build up. Essentially, aluminium might not only increase the production of bad proteins, but also weaken the brain's ability to get rid of them.
That's a double whammy, isn't it? Producing more bad stuff and cleaning less. And I've heard a new buzzword lately, epigenetics. Does aluminium reach that level of cellular control?
It does. And this is truly cutting edge and quite profound. A 2024 review focusing on aluminium-induced neurotoxicity in Alzheimer's reported that aluminium exposure can disturb DNA methylation, histone modification, and microRNA expression. These are all epigenetic changes, how our genes are expressed without changing the underlying DNA sequence. These changes were linked to increased APP and BACE1 expression, heightened NFKB inflammatory signaling, and other shifts that could favor Alzheimer's-type pathology. This suggests aluminium leaves a deeper molecular imprint, potentially altering how our brain cells operate long term.
So it's not just a temporary toxin, it's potentially reprogramming our cells in a detrimental way? That's a whole new level of concern. So, after all this, where does that leave us? It sounds like there's a lot of evidence pointing in a worrying direction, even if we can't draw a direct line in every human case yet.
I think the fair conclusion is this. While the human epidemiological evidence isn't definitive enough to say nanoaluminium alone causes Alzheimer's disease in every instance, there is now a very strong and growing mechanistic case. Aluminium, especially in its more bioavailable or nano-sized forms, can absolutely contribute to the biology of Alzheimer's disease. We're seeing this overlap between brain entry, oxidative stress, inflammation, amyloid and tau pathology, autophagy failure, and epigenetic changes. That's a serious cluster of issues, not just a minor footnote.
That's a powerful summary, Adan. And it makes you wonder, if this is all happening, what can we actually do about it? Alzheimer's is multifactorial, as you said, so metals don't have to be the only cause to still be an important and crucially modifiable contributor, right?
Exactly. This is why reducing our overall toxic metal burden makes sense, even before absolute scientific certainty arrives. It's a proactive approach to long-term brain health. And this brings us to a practical solution worth mentioning, Dr. Georgiou's HMD protocol, which we found on detoxmetals.com.
Oh, tell me more. A structured detox sounds much more sensible than some of the quick fixes you hear about.
It really is. The HMD protocol is built as a three-part system, not just a single product. First, you have HMD itself, which is the mobilizing component designed to help pull metals from inside your cells. Then, there's HMD organic chlorella, which helps bind those metals once they're outside the cell. And finally, HMD lavage, which provides drainage support. It's intended to help upregulate the detoxification pathways of the liver, kidneys, and lymphatics, supporting proper elimination.
So, mobilize, bind, and then drain it out. That makes a lot of sense. You wouldn't want to just stir things up without a plan to get them out of the body.
Precisely. Mobilizing metals without proper binding and drainage support actually risks redistributing them rather than eliminating them effectively, which is obviously counterproductive. The current adult guidance from DetoxMetals.com for the protocol is 45 drops of HMD 3 times daily, 25 drops of HMD Lavage 3 times daily, and HMD Organic Chlorella 2 capsules twice daily with meals.
That sounds like a comprehensive approach. Now, just to be clear, we're not saying this is a cure for Alzheimer's, right?
Absolutely not. And it's crucial to state that plainly. This isn't presented as an Alzheimer's treatment, but for anyone concerned about aluminium and other toxic metals as part of their long-term brain health risk, Dr. Georgiou's protocol offers a really structured detox framework. It's built around mobilization, binding, and elimination, which, as you said, is a much more biologically sensible approach than just a random quick cleanse.
I think that's a really important distinction. It's about proactive health management and reducing potential risk factors where we can. Learning about nanoaluminium today has certainly opened my eyes. It's not just about what we eat or drink, but how those substances behave at a microscopic level that can have profound impacts.
It truly is, Angelina. The more we understand these subtle environmental influences, the better equipped we are to make informed decisions about our health. It's about empowering ourselves with knowledge and taking sensible steps. Thanks for joining me today, Angelina, and thank you to all our listeners for tuning in to this crucial conversation on Brainwaves. Stay curious and stay healthy.
Thanks, Adan. Fascinating and vital information. We'll catch you all next time.